chapter 7. We'll be reading verses 4 to 7. And as we turn, just to give a little bit of a background on this chapter. This chapter is talking about when, with the people of Israel in Samaria, when the king Ben-Hadad came against the people of Israel. He was the king. He's the king of Syria, at the time. And there was this was a time where he was coming, and there were siege. There were coming against this king, coming against the kingdom in Samaria. And just to get a mental picture of what that looks like, it says that this kingdom in Samaria, where the people of Israel were located at, it was like a fort. It was like a fortress on a hill, fortified, and the people were trapped because the king of Syria's army had surrounded the fortress. And at this point, they had been brought to the point of starvation, and everything. Dung and the head of animals were being sold for just crazy prices. Something, it was so crazy, and it brought to the point where even they started eating their own children. And so, as I read this, we're going to come into the story at a point where we're outside of the kingdom of God. We're at the city entrance where four lepers can be seen sitting down. And then it just starts off. We'll just read from here. These are the lepers. If we say, verse 4, if we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall onto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go out onto the camp of the Assyrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. Talking about a great army. They heard this great army approaching, but little did they know it was just these four lepers. Right. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel." And they had said one to another, "Yes, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." This is the Syrian army. They're thinking that the king of Israel has hired, what do you call, another army to come against us. There's a great army. And it says in verse 7, "Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents, and their horses, and their donkeys, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life." I'll give glory to God for that. What he can do with even the least of these. Now these four men, they were kept outside the city walls for a purpose. If we study the scriptures, we can understand that any man that was caught with a sickness or a disease, such as leprosy, was considered an outcast of society, considered unworthy, unclean, and put outside of the city.
That's right.
But one thing I want to focus, something that these men said, in the midst of this famine, in the midst of all this valley, something that we just talked about this morning, they said, "Why don't we just sit here? Let us not sit here and die." And that's something I want to just preach on today. Let's not sit here and die. Now these four men, they may have not known what was going to happen. They got up, and God made the steps of these four lepers, the least of society, outcast society, to sound like a strong army that terrified the Syrians.
Come on, that's right.
God used the outcast. God used the least of society. I want to just go quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, which says, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty."
Come on, brother.
Now, God, I have no doubt, God used these four men. Because, first off, no one's going to think, "Oh, these men, they have all the skills necessary to defeat an entire army." Obviously not. They don't even have the strength. They don't even have the ability to save themselves from their disease.
Right. Yeah. Nothing.
But God used the least of them. And it says clearly in His Word, He is looking for even the least of these. Which I don't know, but I can say for myself, I am the least. of these. I'm the least in the kingdom. I don't feel worthy to be a part of this kingdom, to be a part of this plan. But yet he has called and he has allowed me to be a part of this. And I want to encourage you today. He has called and chosen and allowed you guys to be a part of this as well. Thank you, Jesus. So God chose the weak to confound the mighty. But beforehand, if we read in the chapter just a little bit before, it said God gave the word from before, the word of victory, telling the king of Israel, the Israelite king in Samaria, that there will be deliverance. Let me just go back and read that quickly. God said He would deliver them. And that word, as we can see, came to pass. Glory and honor be unto God. Now I want to just read this quickly. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Then in verse 1 says, then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Now, just to give you an idea, basically that is a very cheap price. Let's say a dollar, about a dollar for a good meal. And God was saying He's going to make this such a victory all that we have now, we can't see it. They're right now at the point where they're eating dung, they're eating the head of animals, and they're resorting to the point where they're eating their own kind.
Right.
But God said, you can't see this right now, but you're going to be eating by tomorrow. You're going to be eating food, fine flour will be sold, two measures of barley. You're going to be eating this, you're going to be eating a meal fit for a king. Let's say that meal fit.
Right.
Right.
But one thing I will tell you, the four lepers didn't hear this word. They didn't know what was going on. They didn't know that this word came, and I feel like if they did, that would give them more encouragement to go and wait it out just a little bit longer. But they got it and set forth. But one thing I will tell you here today, this world right now, where we're at in this world, right now the world is coming at us. It has been constant. It's always been. The world's been coming at us. At the people of God, at the church, to try and close us in, to keep us inside these four walls, to try and get to silence us,
right?
And inevitably, for us to die out, and for this truth to die out,
right?
But God has given us this word of victory, and I just want to share that word. I just want to share that word with you today, because unlike these four leper men, we have the opportunity to know this word today, and it's such an awesome word. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55. We touched on a little bit this morning, which I felt like was confirmation with Zach teaching up there. Oh, glory to God. But it says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives the victory, our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brother, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, this valley is not going to be always. We're going to get to the mountaintop one day, just as you say. We're going to go through things. But at the end of this life, we have a reward waiting for us. Okay, I'm not going to sit here and die. I'm not going to sit here and miss out on playing a role in this victory that's already been won in the kingdom of God and in this earth today. I want to encourage us to go on in service. Let's worship God. Let's give Him our all. And let's try and get the mentality of these four men. Let's not sit here. Let's get up. Let's do something.
Come on.
And let me tell you something. Each person, if you have a breath in your body, God has called you. But it's up to you to make that decision, to be used. It says in the scripture, many are called, but few are chosen. Why is it just Many are called. All are called. But why is it that few are chosen? It's because you have to make that decision.
Right. So
God is calling each one of you. And he has a perfect plan for each one of your lives. And like my brother said, there's certain people that God has for you to reach.
That's right.
With this gospel truth. And I believe that for myself. And this is something that God's been ministering for me. And there's some people that I need to reach. And I don't want to miss on that. I know what this truth is. I've experienced it. I know it is real. And I know this is a lost and dying world.
Right.
And as long as people are going about their day and not knowing the truth, they're just going to end up dead and gone.
Right.
Yes. Missing out on what they were purposed for, what the will of God for their lives,
right.
Everlasting life. That wasn't going to start a relationship with God.
Right.
The people of God, I feel God in this place.
Yes, sir.
The presence is here. Let's not miss
yes,
out
sir.
To give him our all, to give him.
My mother is back home right now, and she's in need of a healing in her body. And I was thinking the other day, anybody in the world would question this. Why would you continue to go to church when you haven't gotten your healing? Why would you continue to go to that service and pray for that healing and seek God when he hasn't healed you yet? Maybe for somebody in this room it's been years, maybe it's been months, maybe this week you found out something that you haven't told anybody yet. You went to the doctor and you need a healing in your body. But I know that every time we go to service, the moment that we feel the presence of the Lord step into the room that we're in, when he walks into the room, there is potential for healing. Today, my brother, my sister, you could be in need of healing in your body. You could be in need, of a touch in your mind, deliverance from things that you've been doing that you don't need to be. Whatever it may be, Jesus is able here this morning.
Right.
I've come to remind somebody today that Jesus is still able.
Still able.
So here's what I want us to do. We're all going to stand together. And during this next part of our worship show, we're going to slow it down just a little bit. Allow God to do his work before Brother Levi comes to speak to us this morning, Brother Powell. And I just want, here's what I want you to do. If you are in need of a healing, or you know somebody who's in need of a healing, as we begin to sing about when he walks into the room, would you just lift your hands and just receive what the Lord has for us today? And would you, if you know somebody who's in need of healing, go and lay your hand on that shoulder and encourage that person. Friend, you can receive your healing today. Friend, you can receive your deliverance today. Can we just lift our hands and worship right now and believe God? Jesus, we believe you today for your touch, God. We magnify you today, Jesus.
When you walk into the room.
Mm-hmm.
That is true.
And I want to thank them. They may never hear this, but they have been so impactful in my life, and I appreciate them. But this morning, it's been confirmation after confirmation after confirmation.
Amen.
In this house.
That's right.
Thank God for that.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not going to be bringing anything new. I'm not going to have a new mind-blowing revelation. I'm going to talk about faith today. But before I get into that, so there is a UPCI pastor, an evangelist, and a Catholic priest. And they all went fishing. So they're all sitting in a boat, decided to go out fishing. Sitting there, not catching much, nothing's happening. The pastor decides, I need to go to the restroom. So he climbs out of the boat, walks on the water to the shore. He gets back a little while later, and the evangelist says, you know what, I need to go use the restroom as well. So he gets out of the boat, walks on the water to the shore. And the Catholic priest is thinking to himself, their faith is no way, it's much greater than mine. So he gets out on the other side of the boat, right to the bottom. The evangelist turns to the pastor and says, man, we should have told him where the rocks were. Amen. Sunday morning humor for there. But, as humorous as that is, our God is great.
Right.
And we can put our faith and our trust in Him. In all things. Amen. I'm going to turn to Jude, verse 3, here this morning in your hearing. I'm also reading out of the King James Version. But Jude, verse 3, says, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. And for a few moments here this morning, with the help of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to preach to you, contend for the faith. Will you pray with me? Lord, we come to you humbly and boldly before your throne of grace. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We know we put our faith, our hope, our trust in you. I ask that you would bless these feeble lips of clay, Lord God, as I attempt to deliver this message that you have given me. Lord, I pray that your presence, Lord God, would be so impactful here, Lord God, that we would not only leave this place changed, but we would also go and change someone else's life. And I pray that in your righteous, holy name, Jesus. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Imagine with me, if you will, an icy night in 1943. The country of Norway. 11 Norwegian Special Forces soldiers were sneaking into an overtaken base held by the Germans. They scaled down a supposedly unscalable cliff, sharp with rocks, slick with ice, men with a singular goal, men with faith in that goal. They had one goal, to destroy Norsk Hydro. It was a plant that could produce heavy water. Heavy water was a substance that can be created and also be used for the creation of plutonium. And, of course, the Norwegians in no way wanted the Germans to have their hands on plutonium for the capability of making nuclear warfare a possibility in World War II. See, they were fighting for what they believed in. They had decided to take a stance. And history doesn't really say, maybe they volunteered for their cause. I like to think that they volunteered for their cause. That they had the faith, and they knew what to do. They were successful in their They scaled down the picture. I cannot tell you the size of the cliff from the picture. And history doesn't tell us, but it is a huge, icy cliff. Men before had gone and tried to do the same thing and failed. But these 11 men went in. They were able to plant the charges necessary for an explosion of the plant. They were able to go in and use their faith in what they believed in. And all 11 men left without a scratch on them. See, our faith is something we contend for.
Right.
Faith has been attacked and ridiculed for centuries. Mark Twain remarked that faith is believing in what ain't so. Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Twain, but that's not true. See, the atheist H.L. Mencken asserted faith is an illogical belief in the occurrence of the improbable. See, many misconceptions about faith exist today. One dictionary definition states that faith is a firm belief in something for which there is no proof. Well, I'm here to tell you today that I have faith in my God.
Right.
And you know what? I've got proof that my God is real, and I have proof to put my faith and my trust in.
Right.
Faith generally means having a strong conviction or deep trust or reliance or loyalty to something or upon something. See, I put my faith in Jesus Christ. See, as Zach was talking about it today, and as Joash again reiterated the point, see, there's something we have to drive home in this place today, and I don't know if it's for us, but I like to think it's for all of us.
All right.
Hebrews 11 and 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." See, faith is not some unattainable attribute we can never get to. Romans 12 and 3, it says, God has given every man a measure of faith.
Right.
And it is up to him to develop that faith
right. And
grow it. So the question is not of faith. See, everyone in this building has faith. The question is your faith holding? Contend for the faith.
Good.
An awesome instance of faith is in Daniel chapter 3, verse 12. It's a bit of lengthy reading, but I felt that it was important to share it with you this morning. Daniel 3, verses 12 through 25. Says, "There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do you not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready, then at what time you hear the sound of the concert, of the cornet, flute, harp, and sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the same hour. But if you don't, you shall be cast in the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God shall deliver you out of your hands?" Nebuchadnezzar makes a bold statement.
Right.
Who is that God that will deliver you out of the fire? But see, this next verse, I love. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, "O king, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us
right. In
this matter.
Right.
But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." See, I love this verse. "But if not." See, I have faith that my God can take me over the mountain or through the valley or through the storm.
Right.
I have faith that my God can make me eat like a king the next day when it seems like there's no hope in the future.
Good.
See, if this doesn't show the faith of those Hebrew boys, what does? God can take me out of my situation, but if not, I will not bow. God can bless me and bring me out of my financial struggles, but if not, he's still God. God can take me out of my medical problems and he can heal my body, but you know what? If not, he's still God. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Verse 19, I continue. It says, "Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and in their hats, and their other garments, and were cast in the middle of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flames of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." And then these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, "Did we not cast three into the fire?" Then answered they unto the king, "True, O king," and answered, "Lo, I see four
right. Walking
in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God."
Right.
My God.
Hallelujah.
See, the faith here is incredible, and you see their reward. See, there were four men, there were three men that chose to take a stand that said, "You know what, I've got faith that my God's going to bring me through."
Right.
And they got to walk with Jesus.
Right.
Amen.
They got to walk with their God. See, these guys were fully persuaded. There was no turning in them. If life ever has you down, you need to rise up with the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And be fully persuaded, because our God will see you through.
Right.
See, what's so interesting to me about this story is that the fiery furnace, scholars say that it was most likely a brick kiln. Babylon in those days, they didn't have a lot of stone to make their buildings out of. So it was most likely a brick kiln. And to properly heat the brick for the strength and the structure of their buildings, the brick kiln would need to be at least 1,000 degrees Celsius. 1,000 degrees Celsius is 1,800 degrees Fahrenheit. And if they were successful in heating it up 7 times the right, the normal amount, then the furnace was at least 12,824 degrees Fahrenheit. But I start to lose faith sometimes, you know, because this is just Levi, you know, and I have a problem with something, and I back out. I say, no, I don't know about that, God. I don't know if you can see me through it.
Come on.
See, we can get so caught up sometimes in the little things. And God's over here saying, you know what? You just come through the fire. If you just walk through the valley,
right.
If you just put your faith in me a little while longer,
right.
I will bring you through it.
Come on.
Can I proclaim to you in this place this morning that God is still on the throne?
Right.
You see, God doesn't always save us from the fires of life. Like I said, he brings us through them.
Right.
We're sometimes tried by fire until we're made perfect in God's eyes. We will be tried by fire until that glorious day when he says, come on. See, we are called to contend for the faith. In our own lives, we build up faith. And we also help our brothers and sisters along the way. Luke chapter 22. 31 and 32. It says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you return to me, strengthen your brethren. See, even Simon, who God gave the keys of the kingdom to, he messed up sometimes. He stumbled and fell. You know what? Jesus was right there. He said, it's okay. It's okay. I'm going to pray for you.
Right.
That your faith would not fail.
Yeah.
Right.
See, if I knew everybody's name in this place this morning, I could go down the list. Joash, I have prayed for you. Jesus has prayed for you that your faith does not fail. Zach, Jesus has prayed for you that your faith would not fail. Bill, right. Jesus has prayed for you that your faith would not fail. If I could tell you something in this morning, if it's all, the only thing you get is that Jesus does not want you. Jesus will strengthen your faith.
Right.
See, even if you fall, it's about how you get back up. The Bible says a just man falleth 7 times and arises each time.
Right.
See, it's my goal one day to face my Savior and realize, as 2 Timothy 4 and 7 says, I have fought a good fight.
Right.
I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. See, faith did not make our desperate days.
Right.
But its work is to sustain and solve our desperate days. See, sometimes we can be lost in despair, but what we need to be lost in is our desperate faith. The only alternative to desperate faith is despair. And where despair falls, the faith will hold you, and you will prevail.
Right.
In olden times, the goldsmith, as he heated up the gold, the impurities would rise to the top. He would scrape off the impurities as it cooled. And then he would reheat it. And depending on the purity of the gold, he may have to do it several times. Until all the impurities were removed. See, sometimes we go through the fires. We go through the struggles. We go through the trials of life. Because God's just saying, hey, just stick with me a little longer. I'll take less away.
Right.
If you just stick it out a little bit further, if your faith will just hold a little while longer, you'll have relief when it takes some of these impurities away from you. Oh, there's another trial. I don't know if I can get through this, God. Just hold on a second, buddy. Just hold on, Levi. You can make it. See, as the service was progressing and as we were singing the songs about healing, when God walks into the room, God spoke to me right over here, and I don't say this lightly. There's someone in this room, and you may have heard this several times in your life, but there is someone in this room who needs your faith to be strengthened. I don't know if it's talking about, I don't know if it's dealing with maybe a spiritual, maybe you're just spiritually run out. Maybe you've hit your wits end spiritually. Maybe you have a physical need in your body. God did not specify that to me. Maybe it's several people. But I know that there are people in this room who you've been hurting. See, the awesome thing about God is that He is a gentleman. He will not make you do anything you do not want to do. But I would implore you this morning, if you have a need in your body, if you have a need spiritually, if you're going through a valley, you feel like you're walking through the fire and it's seven times hotter than it normally is, I know a God that says, hey, put your faith in me, buddy. Contend for this faith. I would ask, are you contending for the faith? Have you been fighting the good fight? Have you slipped a little bit in your faith recently? Are you trying to hold on to your faith, but it just seems like it's slipping out of your hands, and you're like, God, it's so hard to put my faith in you. It's so hard to put my trust in you. Do you have the faith to see God through? And we can stand in this place. These altars are open this morning. If you're going through anything in your life, if you're going through a trial, going through a fire, I would invite you to come to this altar. Put your trust in God. Put your faith in Him. He will see you through. There's an old song that says the Lord is getting ready to move your mountain. The Lord is getting ready to calm your storm. Do you have the faith to see it through? See, when I'm lost and I feel like I'm on my own sometimes, I feel like I have no one to call, no one to turn to, I can begin to call on that sweet name. And every bit of guilt, every bit of shame will be wiped away. Because by faith, I can come to Him and I can say, Jesus, you know, I'm at my wit's end. He wants us to be like that with Him.
Right.
In the Old Testament, Yahweh, He wants us to call us Abba Father. So we have to come to Him sometimes and say, Dad, I don't know what to do right now. Been a fire. Going through a valley. I don't want to just sit here and die, but I want to rise up. If you need a touch from the Lord, I invite you to the altar today. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy. If we could just reach out to the Lord, every hand stretched toward Him in this place.
Thank you.
we have faith in God. I pray simply that your faith will be strengthened in this place. I asked you, Pastor, and I have no intention of overstepping my bounds, but I felt that we need to pray for your pastor and his wife.
Amen.
So if they can come up to the front, we're going to gather around, we're going to lay hands on them, we're going to pray for them.